Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We started the show as we hit you with the crown topic of the day. Started the show talking about the Mets and their road trip as the Mets come home after a 4-6 difficult West Coast trip. But more than just the record, they were embarrassed by the Mariners. You saw the disparity between a good team and the Mets. They get swept away, scoring just one run, a Jeff McNeil solo home run. So that was a rough series for them. However, BT, I'm not giving up on this team because the Mets have earned the right to have the fans. Oh, they've earned the belief in the fans where they've bounced back. They've been resilient all year long, whether it's the 0-5 start, being 11 games under 500, dealing with suspensions and injuries and poor performance and blah, 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 blah. All the different stuff that they've overcome, they've earned to have me and other fans believe that this is just a rough patch. Now, I know the offense hasn't been good since the All-Star break or a little bit before the All-Star break, but overall, they're half game back of the Braves. The Braves had an even worse weekend somehow than the Mets, blowing an 8-2 lead against the Rockies in the eighth inning. Like, that's embarrassing. Everything's right there for the taking, especially when the Mets come home now and take on the A's and Marlins. And I'm just not ready to say that this team does. Now, do I think that they're division winning good or, you know, anything could happen in the postseason good like I once did? No, I don't. I'm off of that. But postseason, absolutely, they could be a postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Mets fall short. I've said that a few times here. But I almost think that it's like, maybe you're not confident, but I could see why you haven't shut the door on it. Because I think that it's better to be a team like the Mets who have twice this year had some lows and then shown the ability to regenerate and you know, kind of grab the steering wheel and stabilize things. I'd rather have that than, because it shows, you know, it shows depth, it shows it certainly shows some resilience and togetherness and a connected team and, you know, good managing and all that stuff. So I think that the Mets will be there until the final week of the season, but I'd rather this than like start out to like some crazy start, like, which is misleading, like the Yankees a couple of years ago, and you win a lot of games early, and then you win like 40-something% of your games the rest of the way. It's not a true indication of who you are. It's just a good start, and the rest of the season, 80%, you're not really that good. So, you know, listen, the Mets have overachieved in a few areas this year, like Iglesias is a good example. Mm-hmm. And I don't even mean the music or the, you know, the connectivity that the music brought with the team, the on-field concert, whatever. I mean, he was hitting home runs, and he was hitting 370 for a while. Like, that never felt real to
me. Right, but he made up for what McNeil wasn't doing. I mean, Jeff McNeil, even, McNeil's turned around. I guess he's hitting 240.
Yeah, I think he's at 240 now. Yeah. But to the point, as Iglesias, you know, is not what he was when he first got here, now McNeil's at least found a way to get his season somewhat stable. So that's a good thing. But I just think that the Mets right now, if you're going to be encouraged about the Mets, to me, it's more about the circumstances around the Mets than what the Mets are actually trotting out there every night. Doesn't mean they can't do it. Don't think they will, but I'm not going to just go nuts because they lost 4 out of 10. Won 4 of 10 on this road trip.
Well, that's it. But you can't bury them when they're right there with everybody else. This is by design that this team was not supposed to be a top tier team. Now, they were playing that way from June 7th on, you know, through the right up to the All-Star break, whatever it was. They were playing like the best team in baseball. We knew that that was not sustainable. We talked about that. We had that conversation.
Yeah.
So we knew there was going to be some drop-off. Well, this is the drop-off. This is where they're at. There's nothing to panic about, nothing to go nuts about. Now, Brandon Nimmo has to start hitting. If he doesn't, they will not make the postseason. It'd be nice if Pete Alonso showed up this year. It's August 12th, and he's yet to really show up and have his presence felt, his impact felt on this team. If he doesn't, the Mets will not go to the postseason. Those are things that happen to teams that when guys have those type of bad years or underperform, whether it's Pete, whether it's Nimmo, that's how you don't make the playoffs. But right now, they're kind of leveled off to where they should be, right there in the wild card race for the final wild card spot.
I've got one question for you before we get back to the calls here, Sal. So to me, you know, and I reference these Knicks often from 2020 because it was unexpected and it helped propel them to better things. Look where they are now. Change the culture. You know, guys wanted to come to the Garden, so on and so forth. You have a captain now, and it's all good. All right, at least on paper going in, Knicks have a chance to win a championship. Hopefully, Mets have a similar path. But while the Mets have maybe overachieved a little bit this year, Has it been a satisfying season to you, not your role on the fan, mm-hmm. like just as a Mets fan? And before you answer, I would think that it's been a little less than satisfying given the situation. You would think it would be fully satisfying, but Nimmo's been bad, Pete's been down. So, like, in totality, it's been better than most people thought. But has it been a very fun season for you?
Here's what I would say. I'm happy that they gave us a season. Like, it very easily could have gone the other way, and it would have been a season like last year. Now, I mean, there are many layers to that question or to the big picture.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, and I said this at the time, so this is not even in hindsight after a rough road trip. Ultimately, I think the Mets did themselves a disservice. I don't like sitting on the fence. I'm either all in or out. And at the trade deadline, they sat on the fence. You either go in and make a push for it, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Or, and this would have been the right thing to do, the or you realize that your team isn't really it, and you trade everybody and take advantage of a seller's market.
Mm-hmm.
Those things may have hurt in season, but would have helped them long term. So ultimately, I'm just happy that the Mets weren't a total wash this year to being one of the worst teams in baseball like they were for an extended period, being the 11 games under 500.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm satisfied with that, but ultimately I can never be satisfied. Like, even if they make the playoffs, I said before the year that wouldn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just curious.
More than that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. It's because it's that kind of an interesting season where there's been unexpected developments, which are fun, but then the things you were banking on haven't been as good, so it's kind of a weird combination.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joe is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
Gentlemen, good morning. Good afternoon. I always appreciate when you take my call. BT, real quick, I called last week. I was one of the callers about Alonzo that I got on him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you defended him. And I wasn't saying that he was being selfish. I just wanted, like Sal articulated a lot better than me, because I always still get a little nervous when I call you
That's
guys.
That's all good. It's all good.
I just wanted him to be more. I could do better. I mean, you know, with his batting average, and he's not having a good year now. He definitely stepped up his defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted him to be a little bit more, I could do better, I got to do more. That, you know, I didn't want to hear, oh, I was an all-star this year, and I'm on pace to hit 40 home runs.
Yeah,
so
no, I
wasn't saying he didn't care.
Yep.
So I just wanted to get that out there.
Joe, it's everybody. I'll let you make the other point. Everybody's interpretation is their interpretation. I understand that why Met fans, if you're longing for a little bit more of a realistic assessment of his season from himself, yeah, I don't think that that's asking too much. Like an acknowledgement that he's been a little down. I'm sure Boris said don't do that. I'm not saying it was perfect. I just want to make sure that the contextualization for me was there because he said enough good things about the team to offset. I didn't want it to turn into just an unnecessary hate toward Pete, but I get it. Wasn't perfect. I didn't say it was perfect.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Listen, I love him, but I want him to stay, but we'll see what happens. And Sal, I just wanted to, what you just said now about, I agree with you 100%. They got caught no man's land with this. The score's like, did they sell and at least get something for these one-year contracts? So let's see what happens. And they kind of got caught no man's land, and I'm still hopeful, but we'll see what happens. I just wanted to say that. You guys keep it up. You got the best show on the air. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Joe. We appreciate you checking in. Couple of things there. We want Alonzo back. My question to that would be, why? Like, I'm not trying to rip on Alonzo, but why? This is a huge year for him, and he's done nothing. By the way, real quick, all Alonzo had to do, even before that last comment that you guys are talking about, you know, the I was an all-star stuff, when he got named to be an all-star, he should have said then, you know what, I'm somewhat embarrassed by this. Like, I'm excited to go, and I can't wait to compete in the Home Run Derby, and it is an honor, but I really am not having the year I expected to have, and Francisco Lindor's having a better year, and he should have gone. Like, why can't you say that?
I don't even think I know what you mean. I think you could have achieved the same equity within some fans that are a little turned off by that by saying this. But you don't have to, this is not the right word, but just to keep it moving. You don't have to diss yourself in the season you're having. What you could have done is, hey, I'm always honored to represent the Mets at the All-Star game. The way we've been playing for the past 4 or 5 weeks, we're among the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in baseball. I think that, quite frankly, I should have some company there and some of my teammates.
Right.
Like, and if you even wanted to mention Nimmo or Lindor by name, you could, but you didn't have to say, I'm not worthy of it, or
fair
I'm not
enough,
having
just
to
build the other guys.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, and then I think it would have been good. By,
but he didn't, and then he didn't again. Okay, so but back to the main question: you want Alonzo back? Why?
Well, the answer for Met fans is going to be because you'll find nobody playing first base is going to produce that power. That's the answer.
Well, Mark Vientos would be the first baseman. Like, what? What about Alonzo? And again, you're listening to somebody who said a year ago, maybe a little more than a year ago, that Pete, when all said and done, was going to go down as the greatest position player in the history of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot has changed since then. And the stuff that we heard about the clubhouse and Pete not being a leader that we talked about, like, nobody is going to dispute that now. Where back then it was,
he's still got a few, still hanging on. Nobody, the home runs
how can
and
anybody
the 500
say no, no, no,
home runs.
No, I'm talking about being a leader in the clubhouse.
Gotcha.
That, like, nobody's going to dispute that. You want to talk about him being a power bat? I guess, sure, that theoretically could happen, but, like, where is he now? The Mets need him. This is not a lost year. The Mets are in the thick of things for, if not just a wild card spot, they could have been in the... They're only eight games back in the division. It could have been better had Pete Alonso been having a good season. So where is he? And then if he doesn't have a good year this year, why would you think that that's going to change moving forward?
Well, I do think that, listen, I think if he gets an extension here, and it's going to be smaller than what anybody envisioned, but if he does remain a Met, I do think he'll have a better season next year. I think his head's a mess. Now you can say, well,
right,
then,
but then wouldn't that concern you? Like, you're going to invest in somebody whose head's clearly a mess?
Yeah.
By the way, how do you look against good pitching?
Well, I've said I wouldn't do it, just to be clear. But I do think that there'd be less murkiness in his mind, and I think he'd probably go back to being, you know, 10-12% better as a player. But you think about this, right? You show up as a baseball player, say at a scouting combine, right? And you talk about 5'2 players, and this is an important moving forward for Pete, okay? So if I say to you, all right, on the major league scale, what is he plus at? Well, obviously plus power.
Mm-hmm.
Is he plus speed? No, he's deficient on the bases. Is he plus in terms of contact rate or average? No, he's deficient
Nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, is he... So, he's a power guy with no speed. You know, the arm is less important at first base. I know he does catch the ball reasonably well, so he's a slightly above average. He's willed himself into a decent first baseman, so I want to make sure I give him that. But you don't see the leadership. You don't really see the intangibles or the IQ that manifests itself night to night.
You know what he is, BC?
It's a power hit. That's it.
Yeah, you know what he is?
Huh?
He's a DH.
Yeah.
And if you tell me that the Mets are going to bring Pete back, 2 or 3 year deal, to be their DH,
mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that.
He'll never consent to that.
Well, then he's... Good luck finding something.
Yeah.
That's
he
how...
He won't consent to that.
You know, here's the thing. I'm not trying to stroke egos here. I'm trying to build a good team. So if I'm building a good team, I look at Pete Alonso and say, you, my friend... Somebody's going to have that conversation with him. I could be the one. Look, I'm not afraid to do it. You, my friend, are a DH. And you're going to be a great DH for us. Here's the deal. Like, go around and see what the comps are out there. I have a strong indication he's not going to be getting a big-time contract elsewhere. But I want you to be the DH the next 3-4, whatever it may be, that are comparable to whatever offer he's getting, even if it's even that.
Okay.
But that's what I'm paying.
And who's your starting first baseman next year?
I would probably move Vientos over. Now, I got to look at the market and
see
the
options. I got you. But right now, you'd say Vientos.
Well, I think that's just an easy transition because Vientos is not good at...
But here's what I would say. Pete is a much better defensive first baseman than Vientos. So why would you weaken that spot?
No, I don't know if he's much better.
He's definitely better. He's better.
He might be better.
He doesn't look like Keith or Donnie, but he's better. He's better than Vientos at first
base. You're not weakening that spot. You're making first base, let's just say,
defensively weaker.
If it is, it's marginal. I mean, Vientos.
But why would you even look to get marginally worse at a position defensively?
Because I'm upgrading DH with Pete Alonso being at the DH, and I'm upgrading third base then.
But who's playing third base?
Well, you got to go get somebody. You got to get somebody.
It's a lot of stuff going on here, Sal.
No, really. I'm adding one player.
Well, you're adding a third baseman.
Yeah, okay. But I'm upgrading two spots.
But you're not upgrading first base.
Yeah, I'm not. First base a wash.
Listen, hey, Hoff, would you jump in here?
I
need him for a second.
Why?
Jump in here, Hoff. Jump in. Like, to me, what are you shaking your head for? You tell me all the time how Alonzo's a good first baseman.
Fight this out. No, Vientos, I would not.
I mean, stop. Vientos is not a good first baseman.
Yeah, but Pete Alonso, I can name you 1,000 different reasons why Pete Alonso should come back to this team, and it's not because of his defensive skills. It's because of a lot of his offensive skills. Even in a bad season, he's still going to blow out most people in power hitting and RBIs. Listen, he's like a top... if you want to critique him this year at how bad he is, Think about how bad of a season he's having, and yet he's still demolishing the rest of the league. You want to go talk about and compare other players on his own team. He's still got 64, 65 RBI. The rest of the team is not putting up those numbers. Nobody is. Well, and go up and down the league, he's still having a good season. So, this is
the
wrong fair conversation.
Well, listen, I respect it. He's not having a good season, but I hear you.
He is, though.
For you, he is.
No.
No, he's not.
But he is. He's actually, listen.
Not having a good season.
He's not having a Pete Alonso season.
He's not having a good season.
He's not having a Pete Alonso season.
Well, nobody's debating that. But I do think that there is debate whether or not it's a good season. The point is, and I wanted to get Hoff in there for the defense, but bigger picture, there are still people like him who will yell and defend Pete. Like, I don't think that our, and that doesn't make them right, not necessarily make them wrong.
Right.
I think for us to say in a blanket statement that there's, you know, nobody else out there, like, I still think that he's got support. I think it's waning. I still think there's a decent contingent of Met fans who think that this year the contract's gotten in his head and they need him back. And I think that that's wrong. But I think that there are people who still believe that.
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying.
Well,
I mean.
Well, I'm just saying Pete Alonso is a DH. He's not a first baseman. So I don't care what the GM says, what Joe Schmo on Twitter says, what Hoff says, what the owner says.
Hey.
I look at Pete Alonso and say, you're best suited if I'm trying to build a team as a DH. End of story.
Scale 1 to 10.
And I would tell him furthermore, if you want to be back, here's the deal that we're going to offer you now. Because you had a chance a couple years ago. Now there's somebody else in charge with Stearns. And by the way, for the record, I would have traded them if there were any value at the trade deadline. Do you think that there was any value at the
trade deadline? I've always said that, so I'm not, I mean, you know where I stand.
But do you think there was any value at the trade deadline?
No, it depreciated tremendously.
Now, why is that the case?
Because he's not having a good season.
Okay, I
agree on that. But let me ask
But if you project him as DH, mm-hmm. where you're getting minimum probably 30 home runs, because even in the down year, you should hit, I mean, I'd hope he's going to hit 5 more home runs the rest of the way.
Yep.
You should get 240, 230 even, 30-plus home runs.
Agreed.
Maybe, I mean, dare I say
90 RBIs, 95.
Oh, 80, 90 RBIs.
Okay, right. I agree with that.
But then you pay him for that, not for 53, 120, not for 40, yeah. 131. You're paying him to be a DH that's going to be an upgrade over J.D. Martinez, younger, homegrown Met fans love him, all those things.
Uh-huh.
There's value there with having Pete Alonso penciled in as a DH.
Okay,
he's a prototypical DH.
Well, we disagree on that. I think that there's value in some of the stuff that you said. I was going to say, scale the 1 to 10. Give me your number where you think Pete Alonso is defensively, you know, where he would rate, you know.
5.
That's totally unfair, and that's not even close to being true. See, the thing about Pete.
You think Pete Alonso's a good defensive first baseman?
I'm going to tell you. I think he's serviceable. I think Pete.
He's serviceable. It's 5.
No, but more like.
Wouldn't average be 5?
He's slightly above average. Here's the thing with Pete as a first baseman. He is heavy-footed, but he looks goofy. Even his throws sometimes sail on him, and he just doesn't look smooth picking a ball. But if you actually just judge him on not how he looks, like Keith or Donnie or, you know, even you know, Tino or even Rico Bronya picking a pack of the day for the Mets, like, or Olerud. He doesn't aesthetically look like a polished first baseman. But I got to tell you, the man makes the plays. And I'm not here changing my tune. Like, he makes the plays. So to me, Mark Vientos is worse at first base. And I don't think, now, if you told me, hey, Brandon, if Pete Alonso's the DH, is going to hit 45 home runs as a first baseman, he's going to hit 33, I'd say, all right, maybe we're onto something. But I think if he plays first base or if he DHs, he's still going to hit the same amount of home runs.
Right. But I'd rather get that production from the DH spot and then don't have Vientos. The reason why I say Vientos at first, I'd rather have Vientos at first, Pete DH, and go get a third baseman, then keep Vientos at third, who I don't think is a great defender over there, although he is better than advertised and been serviceable. Just like Pete. Pete's done a nice job to become serviceable first baseman.
He's worked hard to make the plays. And
you're also leaving out a big part.
Go ahead.
You pay a first baseman a lot more than you do a DH.
Fair enough. But so how many? Who was the last guy besides Edgar Martinez that signed the multi-year contract just to be a DH when he was 30?
Yeah, but Pete,
nobody does that.
But Pete wants a big offer, and I'm telling you that I wouldn't be willing to give that.
Me neither. There's no chance I'd give him a big offer. I said that a year and a half ago.
Right, but if I want him to be the DH and offer him that, it's a totally different contract.
He's not signing it.
No, then
you'll be okay with that. And so would I.
Yeah.
No, so would I.
But that's the point.
But he's not going to sign that, Sal. There is no way he's taking lesser shit.
What's he going to get?
I don't know, but I think that at that point he'd be so pissed at the Mets, he would take something comparable or slightly less to go and play first base somewhere else.
I can't worry about his feelings or anything.
No, he shouldn't be. I know.
Here's my main concern. It comes back to the main concern. I'm trying to build the Mets into the best team that they can be. They would be that if Pete Alonso were a DH moving forward, especially if you factor in the contract, which is obviously a big part of it.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets to the Bronx Bombers against Colorado at Yankee Stadium on Friday, August 23rd. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on The Fan. Let's get back to the phones here. We've been talking a lot of Mets. We've done some Yankees, a little football as well. Kevin is in Mountainside. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking time with me. Love the show. Very entertaining, very informative. A couple of things about Anthony Volpe. Huge fan. His dad was my doctor. I've been following his career. But I noticed a pattern. Last year, he makes the team because he's, like, lights out in spring training, but then had a rough season average-wise. This year, after the winter, lights out in the early part of the year, but then he wanes. After the All-Star break, he's great again, and then peters out a bit now lately. I'm just questioning the amount of time he's being played. 159 games last year out of 162. The other day, he hits a ball off his foot. He's limping, obviously. That was on Thursday. On Saturday, he plays both ends of a doubleheader. So I think he's going to be an incredible asset, very valuable. We need him in the postseason, and I'm just suggesting maybe more time off for him to get him ready for the long haul here. What do you guys think?
I don't think it's crazy. They just don't really have a luxury to do that right now. He's played 118 games, so he leads that. You know, nobody's played more games than Volpe this year. I mean, there might be a little something to it, but he's also 23 years old.
I mean, my God.
Jeez.
What are we talking about here? God. He's 23. We're going to start giving him maintenance days? You got to play. Now, I'm not saying you have to play every day because very few people do that anymore, but you want to be a star in this league, you got to get out of it. Put it this way. I don't think that's the reason why Volpe is inconsistent.
No. I think that the swing changes that he implemented during the offseason, which yielded great results immediately, even start the season down in Houston. I remember, like, his whole approach seemed different, like just more quality at bats and getting deeper in the count. I think that we were fooled to think that maybe it sticks forever. Like, you know, you can't be a hitter one way for 22 years. You can try, but it's kind of hard in baseball. And then really, really do some radical things that are very different and not have any relapses, so to speak. I just think it's unrealistic to think that whatever he incorporated this past winter was going to be his swing for the next 15 years, and he's going to have 3,000 hits.
And maybe it's just going to be a slow climb for Volpe to be a true superstar in the league. He's better than he was a year ago. I mean, we ended the year hitting 209, so he's at 250 now.
Uh-huh.
But the way he started out, we were thinking, all right, well, here he goes. He's going to hit 320 or 330, whatever it may be. So 250 seems bad. But, I mean, he's hitting 40 points higher as of now, and still could finish stronger. I don't need the power numbers. We talked about this, BT.
Yep.
I don't need the power numbers, but if you're not going to hit with the power, then the average better be higher, and you better have more stolen bases. He's going to have more stolen bases. He's going to have a higher average.
His OPS plus is higher.
OPS should be higher. OPS plus is higher.
Total base is higher.
On-base percentage, higher.
Higher.
So, I mean, in every strikeout's probably going to be close to the same, maybe fewer, right?
Yeah.
He's at 117 now compared to 167 all of last year.
I mean, look at it this way, Sal. Last year he had 113 hits. This year he already has 123. He already has 10 more hits this year than all last season. He's got one fewer double with a lot of baseball to go.
More runs.
Yep. Got three more triples this year. 15 fewer RBIs with a lot of baseball to go. As you talked about the steals, he's four away from last year. He should probably finish with 30. So, I mean, there's elements that we love about Volpe. I know he's kicked it around a little bit lately, but he is a Gold Glover, and he's made some great plays. I just still have, and you and I kind of go back and forth on this, I have reservations about whether or not he's ever going to be a superstar.
Right.
I think when we look back, you know, can I see Anthony Volpe being an all-star 2 or 3 years? I could. He's not Witt. He's not Henderson. And he's never going to be that guy.
Would you say that Volpe's having a good season?
I think good's a bit strong. I think it's been a little uneven. You know, it's been really high and really low and really high and really low.
We could say that about a lot of guys, which is, I don't understand what's going on in baseball. You can't be good anymore consistently. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Why is that the case?
I don't know. Well,
the ups and downs with everybody, not just the teams, but then the players. And obviously, the team's results are going to be a byproduct of that.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Are we just reacting to the numbers? Like, when we were young and, you know, take Darryl or take Dave Winfield, you know, like, you tell me Dave Winfield didn't have months where he hit, you know, 203, but we just weren't bludgeoned over the head with it.
No, but at the end of the year, the totals are so, like how could Alonso go from being, you know, a 250 hitter to hitting 213?
That, I don't understand that. That's a tough one.
Or Nemo, you've seen, like Lindor at least, Lindor's been pretty consistent.
He's in the neighborhood.
Slow starts.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, he finishes with consistent numbers, whether they're MVP-like numbers, whether they're Cleveland-like numbers, whatever, it doesn't matter. Since he's been a Met, he's been pretty consistent at the end of the season. At the end of a season, you want to see consistent numbers so you know what you could rely on or count on somewhat going into next year. And with too many players like Brandon Nimmo, he's been the furthest thing from consistent. Jeff McNeil, inconsistent. We talk about Volpe being inconsistent. You know, LeMahieu kind of just fall off a little bit, so you can understand that to a certain extent. Soto and Judge, as consistent as they come. Like, look at their numbers every year. Top of the game. Like,
I would even say Soto's a little less consistent. He's had a couple of years where, you know, like 260, like, you know, this is, he doesn't do this every year.
Right.
He doesn't.
Well, a walk year, he's coming to play.
Doing the exact opposite of Pete. Yeah. If I said to you, Sal, what are the, maybe you can answer this coming up next, maybe you want to think about it. I think this is important about the Mets. Like, what are the three things positively, like specifically individuals that jump out to you about the Mets this year? It's probably not what you thought coming into the year. Like three things, like this, that, and this are the three things that have been most positive, have impacted the Mets most favorably in the standings, or, you know, give you, you know, whatever, fuel for the future, however you want to process it. It's probably not the three things that you thought coming in. Except maybe Lindor, maybe.
Yeah.
Can you do that coming up?
Yeah.
I'm curious how you answer that.
Okay.
Very curious.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Just to answer your question before we get back to the calls here. And by the way, before we even get to that, Hoff just handed us a list of the stuff that's going on at that Fan Fest, Fanatics Fest, NYC. Dude, it is going to be insane.
It's big. It's big.
Like, even bigger than I thought, or even bigger than we've been talking about here. Like, you could do these interactive experiences and everything that they have. NHL target practice. You mentioned the WWE entrance. UFC striking challenge.
I'm going to have to find my way into that.
A little home run derby?
Absolutely. I'm game for that. Let's go.
It's a kid's zone, exclusive, card breaks and all. There's a Sports Illustrated memorabilia museum. More than $100 million worth of memorabilia in there. Parts of the Hockey Hall of Fame.
It's incredible. I think they have every single Super Bowl ring there, too. I think
what?
I read that. Yeah, I thought I read that real quick. I just got this during the break, like you. I thought I saw that. The Vince Lombardi Trophy and a collection of all 58 Super Bowl rings. Yeah.
Not just the big names that are going to be there or the different panels or shows and all that stuff, but this is going to be...
This is sick.
I mean, I'm 44, going to be 45.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can't get enough of this. Imagine, you know, young kids or young... Me as a 15-year-old or 20-year-old even, I'd be...
God.
This would be the spot to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be the spot to be anyway. This is great.
Spend some money that day, Sal.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I got to be careful. I don't want to be. I don't know if you know this about me. I tend to lose control a little bit. It's never just. I never am really measured. It's either all in or all out. So if I go all in, I'm going to come home with a pretty hefty bill.
How many Surfside, speaking of going all in, how about you have this over under 30 in the week?
I let the Surfsides get the best of me on Saturday. I might have had 30 alone on Saturday. We had some friends over at the pool.
What time did you call it a night? Did you early
yeah,
exit?
Or? It was early because it was a kid thing.
All but, right.
And to get through it, I was
so you know, day drinking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that sneaks up on you
from like 12 on.
Yeah. Oh nice.
And I really wasn't eating until you know the pizza got there a little bit later, but I had probably 3 or 4 surf sides before I even ate anything. So it was a nice day, but I enjoyed myself, and I'm looking forward to doing. We have another vacation coming up, you know, a couple more weeks. But
yeah.
Looking forward to maybe taking him out on a golf course as well.
Oh.
I have not played golf.
You want to come out? You want to play?
Well, I'm going to play, I think, with my buddy Steve Hirsch.
Steve, why do I know that name?
He's a PR guy.
Oh, maybe I don't know that name. Okay.
Yeah.
Steve Hirsch.
Anyway.
PR for a team?
No, just a marketing. Like
gotcha.
PR.
Gotcha.
And we've become friendly just through, I met him at spring training a couple years ago.
Okay. Where are you playing? Do you know?
Yes, I do know.
He invited you, I assume, since you have no country club to invite him to.
He did. Country club. Quaker Ridge?
I've heard of Quaker Ridge. I think I played Quaker Ridge.
Yeah.
So, nice.
So I might get to just hammer out the date and details and all that stuff. But anyway, I had to get a new golf bag. My golf bag got ruined. I actually had a nice golf bag. That got ruined just by sitting in the shed for a year. Like, if you can't.
Some damage kind of thing. Yeah, like yeah.
The material got all gross and like it started to peel.
Got it.
So anyway, I bought a new golf bag. Mm-hmm. I'm not major clubs or anything like that.
Yeah,
I couldn't care less. But
I got you.
I'm looking forward to hitting the golf course.
Oh.
Here's what I need to do.
This is nice.
And some surfs. I need to get the hell away.
From
the wife and kid.
No,
like, God. I love
them. All right. Because
this is now 2 weeks that we've had off, both staycations.
Mm-hmm.
And while they've been great, and I genuinely, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, I love every second that I get to spend with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
However, daddy needs a vacation. Staycations are not a vacation.
They're not, dude. Let me tell you something. I mean, I was just looking up at the sky for answers for a couple days.
Yeah, I was getting some texts from you.
Well, yeah. They were actually arguing over a violin at one point. This is where I was like, this is my breaking point. I'm just going to my office and I'm just going to disappear for a minute because I couldn't go anywhere else. It poured every day. So I was off. I worked Monday and Tuesday. Sal was off the whole week. I was off. I worked Monday, mm-hmm. Tuesday. Sal was off the whole week. I was off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And in my mind, we were staying home as well.
Yeah.
You know, and my mind was made. I was going to play a couple of rounds of golf. I just got new clubs, right?
Right.
And not only did it rain, but it was torrential, constant downpour and wind so that my club was, I couldn't even go hit balls. My wife was sick. Now, knock on wood, she really never gets sick and she never taps out. Like once in a while, I might have to tap out. Like if I work like 5 shows and I have a St. John's game, mm-hmm. She'll say, all right, take a day, sleep in. Like mommy never gets to do that in full disclosure. She's a beast with that. Mommy was tapped out, which means daddy was doing everything for 2 days, and it was hard, dude. Yeah, I had nowhere to go. I at one point said, I'm like, oh, you know, daddy, I just went to the gas station. I didn't really need gas. I just gassed up to get the hell out of there.
I need to get out.
Yeah. I was just inventing things. I actually drove to my club, and I sent a video. I put it on Instagram. I just took like 13 seconds of the rain pouring, the deluge that was coming down on the course. I was really then I just started pouring drinks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, well, if I can't go anywhere.
That's one way out.
I'm pouring drinks.
You know, we were.
And they weren't light drinks. Doubles.
No, I got the text.
I was pouring them.
We were supposed to go out east, but that got canceled because of the bad weather. We're supposed to go Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
We're like Nantucket?
Hamptons. I don't know.
Had a little place rented out?
Yeah, we had a hotel booked. Hotel booked for Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
You get your money back because of the weather?
Yeah.
You did.
That's luckily lucky. Full refund. Yeah, I know. But so like we canceled that, but that was supposed to be, you know, a little breakup for the big, you know, staycation
sure,
for a couple of days.
Sure.
And then just get out of the house, go stay at a hotel.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, even though it's with the wife and kid and family, whatever, still it would have been getting away.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that because of the rain. So, you know.
I know.
It was a little rough being around the house and dealing with.
And on some level, it may have been easier that she was upstairs in bed because then we couldn't argue. Instead of worrying about the kids arguing. It was, dude, it was rough. I was tapping out. I didn't know what to do with myself. Really. And I was so pissed because I just wanted to hit the golf clubs.
Yeah,
like,
I
got them.
How's the weather supposed to be the last week of August? And I know a lot of
people
took vacation.
Who the hell knows?
I don't want to get hammered again here with this
rain.
It
doesn't matter. I mean, once the season starts, we don't take vacations. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
by the way, I almost got a hole in one on Saturday. I missed it. I missed it by.
Was it the one with the like the pinwheel that goes
no,
around?
No, stop, dude. It was a nine iron. It's down. It's like
the
it's
clown
seemed,
mouth.
No, you know, no, no. It wasn't Happy Gilmore. It was actually a golf course, not mini golf. It was like I think the number is like 167. So I don't hit a 9-iron 167, but it's downhill, so it doesn't play 167. Dude, I hit it, and it was still wet from the day before. The divot that it left by the stick was about 9 inches from the cup. And of course, that's the time that my ball actually spins back and like stops on a dime and spins back when I don't want it to. Yeah. And I three putted, I got a bogey. But it actually, I know, I was pissed. It almost jarred it on a fly. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm assuming you never had one before.
No, I am not Joe Beningo with three on his resume.
Does he really?
He's got three of them. He's got three of them.
Did you play with Jerry over the week?
I have not. I played with Joe a bunch back in the day. I did not get together with Jerry.
You guys are trying to line up a game. All
right. Trying to.
Or a day to get out there. All right, BT.
Trying to.
Yeah, man, you got to get make it happen. Don't try. Start doing it. BT and Sal on the fan. Chris is in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, gentlemen. I got two things for you. On the Mets, you know, BT, just to answer your question, like expectations, where we are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm exactly where I kind of expect to be. I'm watching the games. I'm invested. I never thought once they got hot, they were going to, like, take over and go on, you know, go crazy. But, look, I think the more important thing for Mets fans is the psyche for Mets fans is don't tank at the end. So, for me, I'm actually happy that they're not hitting now if it means we can beat up on the Padres and the Braves because there's too much trauma about tanking in the end of September. And, ironically, my birthday's the end of September, so my entire life people have been like, oh, let's go to the Met game on your birthday. I'm like, that might not work out too good.
The majority of your life, they haven't been in it by September, Chris. And thank you for the call. Your birthday usually means the end of the Met season. They've been long gone by the end of September.
The old September swoon that the Met fans
June
have had a
swoon.
Few times. Well, I up mean, seven with 17 to go was September.
Well, that was
and
bad.
And then the next year as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that was bad. Work. And the other one wasn't a swoon in 2008. I don't even know if I would call them bold swoons. 2007.
That was the collapse.
That is a collapse.
But wasn't 2008? That was pretty
2008,
bad, too.
Yeah, well, because they lost the last day of the year, the last game at Shea. They closed out Shea Stadium with a loss where they could have made the postseason.
But I feel like they didn't play well. I have to just double check this. I think it really was a little worse than your lead. Like 2000,
they weren't good, but they didn't collapse or go into some swoon.
I could be wrong. I just want to see here. Yeah. 2000, I'm actually pumping it up now. So 08, boom. We know about 07. All right, so in 2008, this is kind of a collapse, dude. I got to disagree with you. The Mets were 86 and 67.
Right.
On September 20th, and then this is how they finished the season. Loss, 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 win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So those final 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games, they lost. They went 3-6. Okay, not colossal, but definitely not.
Well, it wasn't a collapse like it was the year before, but they didn't close out strong. And then 2022, most recently, again, they didn't collapse.
That was the Braves series, there.
Well, that was a disaster getting swept by the Braves. But even just that month of September not very good. They played great baseball the entire year, and then September comes, and they were average at best, you know, struggling to beat bad teams and losing to some bad teams. But to me, the Mets, the majority of the time, they haven't even been in it by September. The majority of the time. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Didn't give me the three things that I asked you for. I said, Sal, what are the three things this year that jump out like most positively attached to an individual player? Lindor's one.
Vientos.
Okay.
And then I either have another individual player to a lesser extent.
Manaea?
No.
Okay.
Or a group. And I was going to say starters. Like the starters would be.
I see what you're saying.
Pick them. Severino. I mean, dude, coming back after what he did a year ago.
Yeah.
Manaea, Quintana, Peterson. They've been solid in that starting
rotation.
Yeah,
they have been. They've been better than I thought they would have been, for sure.
Right. So that would probably be the third thing. The other individual, Iglesias.
Yeah, right. But think about the answers. Right. Now, it's
Vientos,
objective. So,
Iglesias.
But the no starting Pete, pitcher. No Nimmo. No McNeil. Yeah, I mean, like, think about
that. No Alvarez.
That. No Marte.
Yeah.
No Alvarez is true, you know?
I mean, Bader's had a good year,
season.
But not to that.
Not to that extent.
He's done what you kind of expected. Maybe he's been a little bit better.
I think he's been a little bit better than I expected.
All right, fair enough.
But not enough to elevate him.
But still, I mean, Vientos, Iglesias, probably the two most surprising, pleasantly surprising individuals and impactful. Vientos been there. I mean, outside of Lindor, he's been their best player, their most consistent performer.
Mm-hmm.
BT and Sal on the fan. More of your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019.
Can you do that coming up? Yeah. I'm curious how you answer that. Okay. Very curious.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Just to answer your question before we get back to the calls here. And by the way, before we even get to that, Hoff just handed us a list of the stuff that's going on at that Fan Fest, Fanatics Fest, NYC. Dude, it is going to be insane.
It's big. It's big.
Like, even bigger than I thought, or even bigger than we've been talking about here. Like, you could do these interactive experiences and everything that they have. NHL target practice. You mentioned the WWE entrance. UFC striking challenge.
I'm going to have to find my way into that.
A little home run derby?
Absolutely. I'm game for that. Let's go.
It's a kid's zone, exclusive, card breaks and all. It was sports. There's a Sports Illustrated memorabilia museum. More than $100 million worth of memorabilia in there. Parts of the Hockey Hall of Fame.
It's like, incredible. I think they have every single Super Bowl ring there, too. I think
what?
I read that. Yeah, I thought I read that real quick. I just got this during the break, like you. I thought I saw that. Yeah. The Vince Lombardi Trophy and a collection of all 58 Super Bowl rings. Yeah.
Not just the big names that are going to be there or the different panels or shows and all that stuff, but this is going to be...
This is sick.
I mean, I'm 44, going to be 45.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can't get enough of this. Imagine, young kids or young... Me, as a 15-year-old or 20-year-old even, I'd be...
God.
This would be the spot to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be a spot to be anyway. This is great.
Spend some money that day, Sal.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I got to be careful. I don't want to be. I don't know if you know this about me. I tend to lose control a little bit. It's never just. I never am really measured. It's either all in or all out. So if I go all in, I'm going to come home with a pretty hefty bill.
How many Surfside, speaking of going all in, how about you have this over under 30 in the week?
I let the Surfsides get the best of me on Saturday. I might have had 30 alone on Saturday. We had some friends over at the pool.
What time did you call it a night? Did you early exit?
Or? It was early because it was a kid thing. But,
all right,
to get through it, I was
day drinking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that sneaks up
from
on you.
From 12 on.
Yeah. Oh nice.
And I really wasn't eating until the pizza got there a little bit later. But I had probably 3 or 4 Surfsides before I even ate anything. So it was a nice day. But I enjoyed myself, and I'm looking forward to doing. We have another vacation coming up. A couple more weeks. But
yeah.
Looking forward to maybe taking him out on the golf course as well.
Oh.
I have not played golf.
You want to come out? You want to play?
Well, I'm going to play, I think, with my buddy Steve Hirsch.
Steve, why do I know that name?
He's a PR guy.
Oh, maybe I don't know that name. Okay.
Yeah.
Steve Hirsch.
Anyway.
PR for a team?
No, just a marketing.
PR. Gotcha.
And we've become friendly just through, I met him at spring training a couple years ago.
Okay, where are you playing? Do you know?
Yes, I do know.
He invited you, I assume, since you have no country club to invite him to.
He did. Country club. Quaker Ridge?
I've heard of Quaker Ridge. I think I played Quaker Ridge.
Yeah.
So, nice.
So I might get to just hammer out the date and details and all that stuff. But anyway, I had to get a new golf bag. My golf bag got ruined. I actually had a nice golf bag. That got ruined just by sitting in the shed for a year. Like, if you can't.
Some damage kind of thing.
The material got all gross and it started to peel.
Got it.
So anyway, I bought a new golf bag. Mm-hmm. I'm not major clubs or anything like that.
Yeah,
I couldn't care less. I'm looking forward to hitting the golf course.
Oh,
here's what I need to do.
This is nice.
And some surfs. I need to get the hell away.
From
the wife and kid.
No,
like, God. I love
all right.
them.
All right. So, let, all right,
well,
so.
Well, yeah, because this is now 2 weeks that we've had off both staycations.
Mm-hmm.
And while they've been great, and I genuinely, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, I love every second that I get to spend with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
However, daddy needs a vacation. Staycations are not a vacation.
They're not, dude. Let me tell you something. I mean, I was just looking up at the sky for answers for a couple days.
Yeah, I was getting some texts from you.
Well, yeah. They were actually arguing over a violin at one point. This is where I was like, this is my breaking point. I'm just going to my office and I'm just going to disappear for a minute because I couldn't go anywhere else. It poured every day. So I was off. I worked Monday and Tuesday. Sal was off the whole week. I was off. I worked Monday, mm-hmm. Tuesday. Sal was off the whole week. I was off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And in my mind, we were staying home as well.
Yeah.
You know, and... My mind was made. I was going to play a couple of rounds of golf. I just got new clubs, right?
Right.
And not only did it rain, but it was torrential, constant downpour and wind so that my club was... I couldn't even go hit balls. My wife was sick. Now, knock on wood, she really never gets sick. And she never taps out. Like, she... I mean, once in a while, I might have to tap out. Like, right. if I work, 5 shows and I have a St. John's game. Mm-hmm. But she'll say, all right, take a day, sleep in. Like, mommy never really gets to do that, in full disclosure. She's a beast with that. Mommy was tapped out, which means daddy was doing everything for 2 days, and it was hard, dude. Yeah, I had nowhere to go. I at one point said, I'm like, oh, you know, daddy, I just went to the gas station. Just I didn't really need gas. I just gassed up to get the hell out of there.
I need to get out.
Yeah. I was just inventing things. I actually drove to my club, and I sent a video. I put it on Instagram. I just took like 13 seconds of the rain pouring, the deluge that was coming down on the course. I was really then I just started pouring drinks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, well, I can't go anywhere.
That's one way out.
I'm pouring drinks.
You know, we were.
And they weren't light drinks. Doubles.
No, I got the text.
I was pouring them.
We were supposed to go out east, but that got canceled because of the bad weather. We're supposed to go Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
We're like Nantucket?
Hamptons. Take the spot.
Had a little place rented out?
Yeah, we had a hotel booked. Hotel booked for Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
You get your money back because of the weather?
Yeah.
You did.
That's luckily lucky. Full refund. Yeah, I know. But so like we canceled that, but that was supposed to be, you know, a little breakup for the staycation for a couple of days.
Sure.
And then just get out of the house, go stay at a hotel.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, even though it's with the wife and kid and family, whatever, still it would have been getting away.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that because of the rain. So, you know.
I know.
It was a little rough being around the house and dealing with.
On some level, it may have been easier that she was upstairs in bed because then we couldn't argue. Instead of worrying about the kids arguing. It was, dude, it was rough. I was tapping out. I didn't know what to do with myself. Really. And I was so pissed because I just wanted to hit the golf clubs.
Yeah,
like,
I
got them.
How's the weather supposed to be the last week of August? And I know a lot of
people
took vacation.
Who the hell knows?
I don't want to get hammered again here with this
rain.
It
doesn't matter. I mean, once the season starts, we don't take vacations. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
by the way, I almost got a hole in one on Saturday. I missed it. I missed it by.
Was it the one with the like the pinwheel that goes
around?
No,
stop, dude. It was a 9-iron. It's down. It's like
the
it's
clown
seemed,
mouth.
No. It wasn't Happy Gilmore. It was actually a golf course, not mini golf. It was like I think the number is like 167. So I don't hit a 9-iron 167, but it's downhill, so it doesn't play 167. Dude, I hit it, and it was still wet from the day before. The divot that it left by the stick was about 9 inches. From the cup. And of course, that's the time that my ball actually spins back and like stops on a dime and spins back when I don't want it to.
Yeah.
And I three putted, I got a bogey. But it actually, I know, I was pissed. It almost jarred it on a fly. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm assuming you never had one before.
No, I am not Joe Beningo with three on his resume.
Does he really?
He's got three of them. He's got three of them.
Did you play with Jerry over the week?
I have not. I played with Joe a bunch back in the day. I did not get together with Jerry.
You
trying
to line up a game. All right.
Trying to.
Or a day to get out there. All right,
BT. Trying to.
Yeah, man, you got to get make it happen. Don't try. Start doing it. BT and Sal on the fan. Chris is in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, gentlemen. I got two things for you. On the Mets, you know, BT, just to answer your question, like expectations, where we are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm exactly where I kind of expect to be. I'm watching the games. I'm invested. I never thought once they got hot, they were going to, like, take over and go on, you know, go crazy. But, look, I think the more important thing for Mets fans is the psyche for Mets fans is don't tank at the end. So, for me, I'm actually happy that they're not hitting now if it means we can beat up on the Padres and the Braves because there's too much trauma about tanking in the end of September. And, ironically, my birthday's the end of September, so my entire life people have been like, oh, let's go to the Met game on your birthday. I'm like, that might not work out too good.
The majority of your life, they haven't been in it by September, Chris. And thank you for the call. Your birthday usually means the end of the Met season. They've been long gone by the end of September.
The old September swoon that the Met fans
June
have had a
swoon.
Few times. Well, I mean, 7 with 17 to go was September.
Well, that was
and
bad.
And then the next year as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that was bad. Work. And the other one wasn't a swoon in 2008. I don't even know if I would call them bold swoons. 2007.
That was the collapse.
That is a collapse.
But wasn't 2008? That was pretty
2008,
bad, too.
Yeah, well, because they lost the last day of the year, the last game at Shea. They closed out Shea Stadium with a loss where they could have made the postseason.
But I feel like they didn't play well. I have to just double check this. I think it really was a little worse than your lead. Like 2000,
they weren't good, but they didn't collapse or go into some swoon.
I could be wrong. I just want to see here. Yeah. 2000, I'm actually pumping it up now. So 08, boom. We know about 07. All right, so in 2008, this is kind of a collapse, dude. I got to disagree with you. The Mets were 86 and 67.
Right.
On September 20th, and then this is how they finished the season. Loss, 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 win, loss, Win, loss, win, loss. So those final 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games, they lost. They went 3-6. I mean, okay, not colossal, but definitely not.
Well, it wasn't a collapse like it was the year before, but they didn't close out strong. And then 2022, most recently, again, they didn't collapse.
That was the Braves series, of course, down there.
Well, that was a disaster getting swept by the Braves. But even just that month of September not very good. They played great baseball the entire year, and then September comes, and they were average at best, you know, struggling to beat bad teams and losing to some bad teams. But to me, the Mets, the majority of the time, they haven't even been in it by September. The majority of the time. So I wouldn't worry about that.
You didn't give me the three things that I asked you for. I said, Sal, what are the three things this year that jump out, like, most positively attached to an individual player? Lindor's one.
Vientos.
Okay.
And then I either have another individual player to a lesser extent.
Manaea?
No.
Okay.
Or a group. And I was going to say starters. Like, the starters would be...
I see what you're saying.
You pick them. Severino, I mean, dude, coming back after what he did a year ago.
Yeah.
Manaea, Quintana, like, Peterson. They've been solid in that starting
rotation.
Yeah,
they have been. They have been. They've been better than I thought they would have been, for sure.
Right. So that would probably be the third thing. The other individual, Iglesias.
Yeah, right. But think about the answers. Right. Now, it's
Vientos,
objective. So,
Iglesias.
But no Pete. Pitcher. No Nimmo. No McNeil. Yeah, I mean, like, think about
that. No Alvarez.
That. No Marte.
Yeah.
No Alvarez is true, you know?
I mean, Bader's had a good year, but not to that.
Not to that extent.
He's done what you kind of expected. Maybe he's been a little bit better.
I think he's been a little bit better than I expected.
All right, fair enough.
But not enough to elevate him.
But still, I mean, right. Vientos, Iglesias, probably the two most surprising, pleasantly surprising individuals and impactful. Vientos been there. I mean, outside of Lindor, he's been their best player, their most consistent performer.
Mm-hmm.
BT and Sal on the fan. More of your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019.